The 11-story neo-Gothic City Hall at 68 Mitchell Street is actually the fourth City Hall in Atlanta's history.
That's right. There was one from the 1850s, which was where the state capitol is right now, sort of across the street from the current City Hall. There was one at Pryor Street and what was then Hunter Street, a couple of blocks away until 1911. There's a third one in the post office building until 1930. But in the late 1920s, there is a bond issue to establish a new City Hall in Atlanta. And it's at a time when Atlanta is really feeling its oats. It's a growth period of time. There's this campaign for Atlanta to bring industry to the city. It's established itself as the commercial airmail hub for the southeast and really trying to outdo Birmingham. And so the new plans for a new City Hall come with this kind of growth of the 1920s overall.
I think the city floated $8 million for civic improvement projects, quote unquote, with $1 million earmarked for this 11-story City Hall.
Right, which is a lot of money for that time. And it was a very ornate building. A well-known architect, Lloyd Preacher from Augusta, did the building sort of in a kind of quasi Art Deco style. He did a number of other well-known buildings around Atlanta. It was a big deal project.
But apparently the construction of the City Hall was not without a little controversy.
That's right. It was, without a doubt, the largest scandal in Atlanta's municipal history until more recent years when we've had other scandals. There was widespread graft and corruption involved with the building process, purchase of city goods, and deals were struck along the way. A number of people were indicted and sent to jail as a result of the investigation, including, I think, the clerk of the Board of Aldermen and members of the Board of Aldermen as well, the city council. So a lot of people went to jail as a result of it. It was a big hubbub around the graft and corruption in the erection of City Hall.
And Lloyd Preacher, the renowned architect, had also been kicked out of the American Institute of Architects for alleged mishandling of a hotel he was building in North Carolina, although his involvement in the scandal in Atlanta has never been connected.
Right. But, you know, the main point is that there was just a lot of sleaze and graft and corruption associated with this major building project. A lot of people had their pockets filled as a result. It did have a couple of consequences because the two leading mayors of Atlanta during this period between the wars were unscathed by the scandal. One was James L. Key, who had left office as mayor in 1928 before this happened and then returned in 1932 as mayor of Atlanta. So he had been untouched by scandal, unlike many other city officials at the time. The other was Bill Hartsfield, who became mayor in 1936, who also, like Key, had briefly left politics during the time of the scandal. So he also was untainted by this corruption. So the two dominant mayors of Atlanta, in fact, were so successful because they escaped any kind of connection with the graft and corruption.
Nonetheless, City Hall opens in February 1930. It's an imposing structure in downtown, very ornate, and remains City Hall to this day,
right,
in one form or another.
It is still City Hall. There's been City Hall Annex and City Hall East. It was the highest building to Atlanta's skyline until the late 50s because it was built right at the eve of the Depression. And then you had the Depression, and then you had World War II when there's not too much construction going on. And it's only in 1959 when 34 Peachtree Street is built, which is originally, I think, a bank building, a 30-story structure, that the Atlanta skyline transforms again. And then again, you have the big hotels and so forth in the 1960s. But that's the last big, tall building in Atlanta until the late 1950s.
Cliff Kuhn, thank you.
Thank you, Steve.